If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 13. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 31. John 13, 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we read today the words of Jesus, the mark of a disciple, a follower, love. There's a lot within that word. Often we don't measure up, but I thank you for your grace. I pray that we would continue to grow and abound more and more in your love. Speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. As we review, we've been in this series called Follow Jesus. And we've discovered that Jesus called specific men to an inner circle, the first 12 that he knew would carry on the message once he left this earth. But that call expanded beyond the 12 to a general calling to all to come and follow him. We saw the calling of Matthew, a tax collector. He went to his house and hung out with tax collectors and sinners. The tax collectors had their own category. He didn't even count them in with the sinners. But Jesus was there hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. He called all he could call were sinners. That's all of us. And the call was, come and follow me, and your life will be changed. And these 12 and crowds continually gathered to follow him, but in particular the 12, they spent 3 years with him, learning and watching and listening, and they still didn't get it. They were still skeptical. There was one with the nickname Doubting Thomas. One of them betrayed him. They still didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand Jesus. And the call is still the same today. And you might be here today and trying to figure this all out. You might be a skeptic. It's okay. Follow Jesus. Your faith will grow. You might be unsure. You're still trying to figure it all out. Maybe there are some things you doubt. That's it. Okay. Keep following. You're right there among the original followers. Well, today, we are asking the question, as I follow Jesus, what do I wear? Now, we can tell a lot about a person by what they wear. You can go to Walmart and learn a lot about people by what they wear. I think I saw Elvis there the other day. If it wasn't Elvis, it was somebody that's following Elvis, that had been following him for years and years. Well, what you wear says a lot. Now consider the following. What does this clothing tell you about this person? What is their occupation? They're a construction worker. How about these two? Firefighters. And this is a police officer. Pearlie's not here, our retired pilot, but here's a pilot. We've got several of these in our church. Sometimes you dress like this, a nurse. We've got people in our church that spend almost every morning at this restaurant. You can tell where this person works by what they're wearing. Now, you can also tell a lot by what somebody follows, who they follow by what they wear. Well, what team would this person follow? That might be an easy one, the Green Bay Packers, a cheesehead. Here's one that's close by. UVA football fan, follower. This one might be more difficult. It's the Brazil soccer fans. How about these guys? Who do they follow? They follow Buddha. These are Buddhist monks. How about this guy's fanatic? And how about this group? Not sure they went to the class on how to win friends and influence others. I've come across groups like this before. Now the last two, they're trying to make a point, but Jesus didn't come to make a point. He came to love and to transform the world. He came to hang out with those signs were condemning. He hung out with the woman at the well. He loved her and offered grace and forgiveness. The sinners at Matthew's house. Regularly, he showed compassion to the hurting, the sick, the broken. Now in John 13, we find that Jesus is with his disciples prior to the crucifixion. And he's telling them, you can't go with me on the next leg of the journey. You're not going to be able to follow me on the next leg of this journey. Now, Peter, he was offended by that. But Lord, we will die for you. But Jesus knew the truth. No, Peter. Before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. And in the same context, he says, I give you a new message. And I'm intrigued by what is new about this message. It seems like the same old message that he already had been over. That, and looking at the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus already talked about this, that these are the greatest commandments. The second one like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That you're to love. But now he's saying, this is a new commandment. I want you to love each other. And maybe he's stepping it up a little bit. Not only do I want to love, I want you to love each other because you love our Heavenly Father, but I want you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And if anybody loved people, it was Jesus. Went to the house of sinners. Touched the leper who was an outcast. The untouchable. He extended grace to the woman caught in adultery. He loved people. And then he left on this journey that they couldn't follow him on and went to the cross. He gave up everything. He gave up all that he had in heaven. All the glories of heaven. His rightful place. Because he loved you. And he's calling us to love each other with that kind of a love. Now the gravitational pull of religion is toward doing the right things. The gravitational pull of religion is keeping a set of rules. Okay, if I go to church, I read my Bible, given the offering, take communion, say prayers. And if I mess up every once in a while, I can ask for forgiveness. If I do all these things, then I'm okay. But that's how the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were about, okay, if we do the right things, then we'll be okay. But the Pharisees didn't love people. And Jesus is saying, this is more than just doing the right things. This is more than just saying the right things. I want you to love each other. I want you to enjoy each other. I want you to have a relationship with each other that you will go out of your way for one another. Now there's a man by the name of Saul who encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And his life was changed. And his life was changed in such a dramatic fashion, and he became, well, he was already zealous for God, and he thought he was doing the right things, but he was confronted by Jesus, realizing he wasn't doing the right things. He was working against the Heavenly Father instead of for Him. And then he became zealous for preaching Jesus and the power of the resurrection. And he became so influential that here we are 2,000 years later. We still know about a man named Paul. And majority of the New Testament are his writings that are still changing our lives and molding us 2,000 years later. You know, in 2,000 years from today, people won't know who we are. In this world, we'll be long forgotten in 2,000 years. But here's a man who made such a dramatic change and that God used in such a powerful way that we have his words that I want us to look at in Colossians 3. As we ask this question, if I follow this man who taught us how to love, what do I wear? Colossians 3, verse 12. Clothe yourselves then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The umbrella that covers the wardrobe is love. And as we answer the question, what do I wear as a Christ follower? We wear compassion. As part of God's family, you need to be known as a person of compassion. When someone suffers, you suffer. When someone hurts, you hurt. This compassion is a love that you feel deep down in the bowels. Have you ever made that statement? Oh, I feel like I just got kicked in the stomach when you got some bad news. Or you hurt and you can't eat because your stomach is all in knots. Compassion is having that feeling towards the suffering of others. When someone else hurts, you hurt, and I ache for them. When someone else is in trouble, you feel that deep down inside. That's compassion. Now, if I were to go to your neighbors or your coworkers and say, is so-and-so, would they be known as a person of compassion? Would they laugh? Compassion? And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not naturally a compassionate person. Then borrow somebody else's compassion and put it on. Go to the Heavenly Father and say, I need some of your compassion. My wardrobe's empty. Ask for it for Christmas. Maybe you can unwrap some compassion as a gift. Put on compassion and kindness. Kindness is lending your strength to someone else. Offering what you have deep down to someone else. There was a lady standing at the bus station. And she had just cashed recently her tax refund check. And she had a little extra money with her. She saw a man off to the side. He was kind of disheveled and she watched as someone came up to him and whispered in his ear and handed him some money. And she thought, well, that was quite a nice act of random kindness. I could do the same. So she walked up to the man. She pulled out a $10 bill and handed it to him and whispered in his ear. Said, never despair. Never despair. Well, the next day, there was that man out there again. She felt so good about what she had done, giving that man $10. And he walked up to her that next day, pulled out a wad of cash and handed her $100. She said, what's this? She said, never despair, one. He came in 10-1. She didn't realize she was giving money to a bookie. Bet on a horse named Never Despair. Okay, well, that might, if you have to explain it, then it's not a good one. So, put on compassion, put on kindness, and put on humility. Humility is the act of viewing yourself accurately, knowing I am not more or less than I am. Humility is realizing that every one of us on the planet has a place. And we all are special because our Creator died for us. Humility says, I am loved by God and you are loved by God equally. He wants the same for you that He wants for me. He died for you just like He died for me. I will set myself aside and love you as Christ loved you. Did you know that pride and arrogance are the only sickness that really makes everyone else sick than the one that has it? Now our young people here, they won't remember Paul Harvey, but I always enjoyed Paul Harvey coming on the radio and you'd hear the rest of the story. Good day. He told the story one day of a lady in Hershey, Pennsylvania, went to the shopping mall. It was a busy time of year. And she drove her Mercedes up and down the parking aisles looking for a parking spot. She followed someone who was leaving with their packages, knowing they were leaving. So she followed this person patiently and realized which car they were going to get in. She stopped and waited, and that person got in, got situated, started up, backed out, and pulled away. And before she could pull into the parking spot, this young man whipped right into the space ahead of her. And he got out of the car and arrogantly looked at her as she put her window down and said, young man, I've been waiting for that spot. He said, ma'am, that's what you can do when you're young and fast. So she put her car in reverse, she backed up, put it in park, and then she put the pedal to the metal and she ran right into his car. And he turned around and came, ma'am, what are you doing? She looked at him and said, young man, that's what you can do when you're old and rich. Now, he wasn't very humble, and she wasn't very gentle. Put on gentleness. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, since we are called as Christ followers to be peacemakers with everyone, then we should be gentle with everyone. When the server brings you the wrong item for the fourth time, well, even on the first time, you respond with gentleness. When the official makes a bad call, or the referee, you respond with gentleness. When your son or daughter is bullied, you respond with gentleness. Now, that doesn't mean you allow people to walk over you, but you respond with a gentle strength. When the preacher or the youth minister lets you down, it reminds me of when I was a kid. I'll never forget this story. When your kids remember things. I remember this from when I was a kid. We had my first youth minister ever. His name was Roland, and he lived at our house some of the time when he was there. And then he moved into the parsonage on the property of the church. But he always had an invitation if he ever needed to come to our house, just with a lot of people, had an open invitation. And one night that house became infested with fleas. Now that's no reflection on the youth minister, but he couldn't take it anymore, so he drove to our house in the middle of the night. He knew which window to pry open, and he crawled in the window, and he knew which bed was empty, and he spent the night. It was a shock to my mom in the morning when he walked in the kitchen, but the invitation was there if you ever need a place to stay. Well, I'll never forget this story. Hattie Morris was not a gentle person. And Hattie, she was upset with Roland. I don't know what he did or something to do with her son maybe, but Hattie, she was upset. She was like a hornet that had just been stirred up. Now this parsonage was an old house, didn't have a shower, had an old claw foot tub. Roland was in the tub. And in marched Hattie Morris, right in the door, right up the steps, right into the bathroom, and she was letting him have it while he's sitting in the tub. That's Hattie Morris. I'll never forget. Not very gentle was she at all. Hand in hand with all these is patience. Patience is responding at someone else's pace. You set aside your pace and respond at somebody else's pace. I was joking last week when we had a vehicle broken in Charlotte and a vehicle broken in Beckley that I shouldn't have prayed for patience the week before, but I really didn't pray for patience. They say you shouldn't pray for patience because you might get tested. You might go through the grinder to develop patience. But to respond at someone else's pace requires us to set ourselves aside and look to the needs of others. Ascendi McManaman, she wrote an article about her daughter going to Kosovo. We have friends that are missionaries in Kosovo, so they pronounce it Kosova. And this lady writes about her daughter going on a mission trip. And while there, they instructed her, now don't claim to be a Christian. Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. And this is among the Christian people. Don't tell them that you're a Christian, because there are negative connotations in various parts of the world that they view the term Christian as American and self-indulgent. That American Christians, they are self-indulgent just like everyone else in America, and continually building up stuff for themselves and taking care of themselves, and they're all divided, they don't get along. So we prefer that you would things would go better if you'd refer to yourself as a Christ follower, because it shows that you follow a person, the person Jesus. So the question is, are you a Christ follower? Are you following Christ? Are you loving in extreme ways, in ways that people take notice, that it's beyond the norm, that it's beyond what people would see and say is reasonable, that you would give your stuff away, or you would, and I still can't help but think about Philip broke down Beaver, West Virginia, and the church at Grandview Christian Church, that the preacher was going to drive him halfway, but he had a basketball game he wanted to go to first from Beaver, West Virginia, halfway to Cincinnati, up to Rio Grande, Ohio. That since it was going to be late in the basketball game, he called a couple of men and they just said, sure. Two men that just dropped everything and they took off and drove Philip halfway to Cincinnati, Ohio from there around Beckley. And then drove back home that same evening, late. Would you do that? Would you go out of your way for someone like that? A stranger? Somebody you didn't know even? That's a Christ follower who drops everything and loves the world and loves a brother and loves a sister. Heavenly Father, I pray that our wardrobes are full with compassion, with kindness and gentleness, all covered in love, patience, all these things that we should be clothed with, that we should put on, that we should wear as Christ followers. And I pray that we would be known by our love, that people would take notice when they see us or they watch us. That people learn about Jesus and then we use words when necessary. Help us this week to be a light, to stand out in a crowd because of our love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe it's time.